Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 111, Kuf Yud Aleph. Many prayers are taken from Tehillim, and Hallel is no exception. Hallel consists of Psalms 113 to 118, from the words Hallelujah, Hallelujah Avdei Hashem, praise God, praise the servants of God, to Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov, thank God, praise Him, for He is good, in Psalm 118. The word Hallel appears in these six psalms seven times, focusing our attention on the experience of man praising God. We recite these psalms on holidays as an expression of our gratitude to God for doing the supernatural, for changing the course of nature, for saving us from peril. The truth is, though, that miracles happen every day. There is no natural, since all life is supernatural. So why do we get so excited about a few miracles thousands of years ago? Why recite Hallel for that? Why not recite Hallel every day? My grandfather asked me this question and then gave me yet another profound nugget that has stayed with me for years. Hallel is not recited when God performs miracles in the world. Hallel is recited when mortal man shines for a moment, making him worthy of God's divine intervention. Pesach is not about God alone. It's about the relationship between a downtrodden nation, subjugated, removed from their homeland, distanced from God, but not completely. Somehow they hold on, calling out to God in pain, in suffering, in desperation, and therein lies the miracle. Years later, I found some Tehillim evidence for my grandfather's position. Psalm 113, the beginning of Hallel, is prefaced by two very similar psalms, 111 and 112. Each one is an acrostic, each one offers praise, but there's one major difference, the subject. Psalm 111 is about God, a logical introduction to the notion of Hallelujah, praise God. But Psalm 112, that's about praising man. In an acrostic looking exactly like the previous one, Psalm 112 patterns itself after 111. Indeed, it is a sister to it. Let's analyze Psalm 111 today and tomorrow relate to its sister and then appreciate and understand the essence of what was trying to take place with these psalms as they prepare for the Hallel. Hallelujah, Ode Adonai b'chol levav b'sod yisharim ve'eda gdolim ma'asei Adonai drushim l'chol chefzehem hod v'adar pa'alo v'tzidkato omedet la'ad zecher asal l'inflatav chanun rechum Adonai terev natan l'reyav yizkor l'olam brito. Koch masav yigid le'amo latet lahem nachalat goyim. Ma'aseh yadav emet u'mishpat ne'emanim l'chol pekudav. Smuchim la'al olam asuyim be'emet v'yashar. Pedut shalach le'amo tziva le'olam brito kadosh v'nara shimo. Reishit chochma yirat Adonai. Sechel tov l'chol osehem tilato omedet la'ad. I will extol God with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of God, they are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. God is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever and acted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Each of the first verses includes two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, while the last two verses have three. And so verse one has an aleph and a bet, and verse 2 has a gimel and a dalet, etc., etc. The acrostic is a poetic way to convey totality of praise simply by using every letter. The poetry is amazing here, as it consciously veers from typical biblical poetry form, which divides each verse into two parts, known as hymnistics. And most often, the second one begins with a vav. Consider Psalm 145, known as Ashrei. In Ashrei, 19 out of the 21 verses have a vav in the middle. That vav represents a second part. So, Tov Hashem Lakol, V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. God is good to all, and he is this, and he is that. In our psalm, the only second hemistich that begins with the letter vav is the letter vav. which is the second half of verse 3. Verse 1 is Aleph Bet, verse 2 is Gimel Dalet, and verse 3 is Hey Vav. It's also interesting to note that the psalmist chose to break the psalm into 10 verses, and then was then forced to make 2 verses with 3 hemistiches. Why not just add one more verse, and then you'd have 11 verses with 2 hemistiches? Did he want to leave us with the magic number 10 for his poem? In terms of the structure and themes, verse 1 is an intro to the notion of praising God. Verses 2 to 4 describe in general God's attributes, greatness in his actions, splendor in his endeavors, justice which stands eternally, memorable activities, and filled with kindness and compassion. Verses 8 and 9 speak of God's providing for his faithful, food to those who fear him, a remembering of his covenant, showing power to his nation, bequeathing land as inheritance. The psalm seems to present a universal perspective of God, but then in verse 6, becomes particular to his nation and the land. Verses 7 and 8 describe God's attribute of truth, judgment, faith, eternal righteousness, and honesty. In verse 9, introduces us to redemption, which he provides for his nation, reminding us of the covenant a second time, and concluding with words, Kadosh Venerah Shmo, his name is holy and awe-inspiring. The final verse switches gears a bit as it begins with an aphorism on what true wisdom means, the fear of God. This final verse is actually adopted in the morning prayer as the verse recited right after Moda'ani. The beginning of true wisdom is faith in God. That's a foundational idea and a worthy one with which to start one's day. This short poem can be easily memorized and internalized as a microcosm of all psalms which extol God in all his myriad miraculous ways. It is therefore constricted into just 10 verses with a cadence and with known words of praise and defining God's character. Perhaps these 10 verses were to be recited together with a subsequent psalm as a unit of praise to God and to man. We will see this comparison to Psalm 112 when we study that tomorrow.